from the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
That would be moi. Good morning. It's April 24th, 2018. This is Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We're here every morning, 9 to 11 o'clock, generally, unless I take the day off, which I haven't 3 or 4 years, but I'm working on it. 9 to 11, sometimes a little bit longer. And we talk about your health, your wealth, and your well-being. Shows on money every Wednesday with Andrew Goss, who studies the monetary system and tells us where all the bodies are buried and how to protect yourself from fiat currencies and this thing they call money, which is make-believe, but we don't do that tomorrow. Dr. Richard Massey, Bertie and Grace are here on Thursday, the last Thursday of the month. And the second or the last, Okay, the fourth Tuesday of the month is Dr. Jennifer Daniels. She's an MD that was in the United States for a while and got fed up and moved to Panama. And she does a lot of things down there. She has her own little radio show. She does this show once a month, and she has a website, vitalitycapsules.com. She's got some cool stuff to keep you going, and really going. Do You Have a Guts to Be Beautiful? One of her books. Also, a classic book about using pure pine gum spirits, turpentine, which is called The Candida Cleanse, that you can get on Vitality Capsules. And Dr. Daniels had peanuts for breakfast this morning. So that's good. Peanuts, that's a good breakfast. I like it. Got your protein.
In a hurry, just in a hurry.
Really? How could you be in a hurry? You're in paradise in a jungle with iguanas and birds and chirpies and stuff. And,
I had to be on time for the show.
Yeah, well, good luck with that. But you were on time this morning. I'm really proud of you. You're on time this morning. Yeah, my main guy. Is that your two books, Candida Cleanse, and You Have the Guts to Be Beautiful?
Yes.
Oh, do you have any other ones like that? I was telling Dr.
The Lethal Dose. Why Your Doctor is Prescribing It. That's on Amazon.
Oh, really? The Lethal Dose. Why Your Doctor is Prescribing It. Didn't know that one. Yeah. That's an Amazon one, too, huh?
Yeah.
You were telling me that you did a stand-up comedy routine. Did you? How'd you get involved with that?
Well, I went to, a gringo here is trying to reinvent himself as a country music star.
A gringo, yes, what you call Americans?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I said, okay, I'll go watch his act. I'll be supportive. And so I went there and I met an Asian American. And we got to talk, and we both figured we liked hiking, so we thought we'd go hiking together. Mm-hmm. And while we were hiking, I told her, I write jokes, and I see some few of my jokes. She says, those are funny. I said, well, thank you. And she said, there's going to be a variety show, and I think they would let you do a comedian act in that show. The show goes on in 3 weeks. They've had a couple of rehearsals already, but you might be able to catch up. Uh-huh. And then these people were serious, and they had auditions. They turned people away and blah, blah, blah. And so she emailed them. I don't know what she told them about me, but they said, oh, yeah, you're on the program. And so they just put me right in the program, no audition, nothing. And so I had two rehearsals that were remaining, which I showed up for. And then I did my little 5-minute comedy act to a sold out crowd.
Really?
And they loved it.
They loved it. Did they love you? Did they like laugh and clap and everything?
Oh, they laughed. They clapped. A few of them even stood up.
Oh, wow.
And so at the end of the show, it's like a receiving line at a wedding. And so we performers would shake people's hand and say, oh, thank you for coming. And people, and one lady who knew me from, years, she said, I didn't know you were funny. I said, yeah.
Yeah, I'm funny. I'm a funny girl. That's great.
So we just had a really good time. And people want to know when they could catch my next act. And I said, oh, my goodness. I better get a next act. I'm going to have to start doing some YouTube videos.
Yeah, I know. I was telling Dr. Daniels, I said, well, maybe next time you do one, get somebody to video it, and we'll put it on the website, and that'd be fun.
I mean,
you know, put on my Facebook page, man. We'll make you a rock star. But you're already a rock star. Do you know, you are a rock star. Do you know that I've never seen so many questions for you in one day in ever. What's up? I mean, there are we got to start right now because we're not going to even get through them. It's crazy. I mean, where are you people coming from?
There must have been something that people
I don't know. But I mean, we always have a lot. But
that I don't know about?
I don't know. We always have a lot, but I've never seen so many. There's probably, 30 this morning. It's just this morning. And then we get them throughout the month and I file them too. I mean, so let's go, kid, because whatever, we got to... Your audience is waiting.
Well, can I talk about my other projects?
You can talk about whatever you want. You're the star of the show.
You're so kind. So, as you know, I'm working on and finally mastered the wheel pose in yoga.
I didn't know that. You'll have to tell us what the wheel pose is.
It's where you stand up.
Yeah.
And you raise your hands up in the air and you bend all the way back until your hands touch the ground.
Going backwards?
Uh-huh.
Oh. What? Let's see. I'm just picturing that. Okay. I can do it forward, but backwards, I'm not too sure. So what do you mean? How are you going to fall over? You're going to just fall over when you go backwards.
No, your hands hit the ground. Your spine bends and your hands hit the ground.
And it doesn't crack your back or anything?
No.
Okay.
So that's the whole point. Figuring out how to do it.
Without
cracking your back, yeah.
What's the secret of doing it?
You know what? It's going to sound really trite, but hard work.
Mm-hmm.
Hard work, persistence, and just, I had to analyze the whole pose. I had to figure out, okay, why can't I do this?
Right.
And first I figured out, okay, I'm not flexible enough. My spine can't bend in a proper arc.
Yeah.
So my thighs had to be able to hyperextend on my hip joints in order to get the first part of the arc.
Right.
And then shoulders and arms had to hyperextend the other way, and my thoracic spine had to So once I finally got the back flexible, then I realized my arms weren't strong enough to hold me up, so that was a problem.
Yeah.
So then I had to have these rocks out by my house, or 7 pounds each rock.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up the rocks and started doing arm exercises with these rocks.
Okay.
And then I realized, okay, the arms are okay, but then, oops, my core. Then I had to do some sit-ups, strengthen my core, and then boom, put all it together, and there we go. So you can find that on my Facebook page. It shows me doing the video of me actually starting flat out on the ground and lifting up into that wheel pose.
I just Googled it, and I see a picture. Yeah, I've seen people do that. So, wow. How long did it take you from the time you started till you were able to kind of do it?
Well, I've been trying to do it for 20 years.
Oh, good.
But then I got really serious.
Good. Thanks.
I got really serious the last 4 months, and I said, you know what? I am going to do this. I am 61. I've got to get this done before I die.
Yeah.
So what I did was I actually hired someone to stretch and bend my back.
Ooh.
And to literally take my body and lift it up off the table into the wheel pose, which, of course, I couldn't get there myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then once she did that, then my body was like, oh, okay. And then I was able to sort out why I couldn't do it myself. And I said, okay, I need to fix this over here and fix that over there. And boom, and I got it.
I see.
So
now, I do the plow, which is very, just forward. I can really get like a sandwich there, but I've never done the other way, Now they do it here, this one, where they have you kind of lying down on the floor and you start like that. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, I start on the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, if you started upright, that'd be kind of... So you start on the floor and then, I'm going to have to try that. I'll let you know next month how I do. I'm going to try
that. All right, so now I'm working on splits.
Splits, yeah, yeah.
Splits. So on my Facebook page, you'll see my latest attempt at a split. So I'm about a foot from the ground. Well, 8 inches from the ground.
Oh, you mean just to like split like a... Split like in the dancers would split like.
Yeah. Like 1 foot forward and 1 foot back.
I went out with a yoga lady years ago, and she would put her feet and kind of butt up against the wall, you know, with her back on the floor, and then split open, you know, and she could get her legs totally crazy, like flat, you know. That's how.
That's what I'm working on.
Yeah, that's amazing. I couldn't believe she'd do that.
Yep.
She said, well, if you just keep doing it and keep spreading them and do it every day, they'll gradually just stretch on out there.
That's encouraging. So yeah. I'm working on that.
Yeah, good for you. So talk to us a little bit about, before we start, the questions from a physiological kind of health standpoint. We've often heard that, you know, you're only as old as your spine kind of thing. Do you think that's true?
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's why it was so important to do the wheel pose. So when I was younger, in my early 20s, I could do it very easily. In fact, I could kind of walk around the room in that pose. And so when you do that wheel pose, it opens up your spine, your cerebral spinal fluid, and it's like cleansing your brain.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And your memory is just super sharp. And when I was in medical school, I could every evening memorize 7 drugs, the brand name, the generic name, why you take them, why you shouldn't take them, what's the dosing. And I would just boom, 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 boom. I had absolutely no problem. It was very simple for me. And you can imagine many of my classmates were just totally overwhelmed by that workload.
How do you remember that? Well, I see. Yeah, we had somebody was talking about the whole spinal fluid thing. Gosh,
it's very important.
Yeah.
And so that is what's done by the wheel pose.
I see.
And they said, well, why do the splits? Oh, splits are very important. I just kind of got it. When I was 10 years old, I always wanted to do a split. But now that I'm working and conditioning towards doing it, I'm finding that a lot of what I thought was weakness in my legs was not weakness in my legs, it was lack of flexibility. So now, because my hips are not as stiff and have a wider range of motion, I can skip right down the mountain even faster and easier.
Flexibility, not necessarily strength in the legs.
Right. So So now, for example, if you're on a steep incline, which my mountain is very steep, you put one foot down, well, you're going to fall forward in your face if that other leg doesn't get out there in front of you. You see that?
Yeah, because you're moving pretty quick.
But without the split conditioning, my legs couldn't move to keep up with the gravity. And so I was constantly lurching and kind of leaning backwards and afraid I was going to fall. And I spent hundreds of dollars on getting footwear that would grip the mountain and not let me fall. And so then I decided, you know, I'm going to look at these other people who are skipping up and down the mountain. What's their footwear? Flip-flops, sandals.
Flip-flops.
Pair of sneakers. I mean, literally, no one was wearing any foot gear that was more than $5. I'm like, wait, stop, Jennifer. Stop. You don't need this $80 pair of shoes, $120 pair of shoes. That is not the problem. The problem must be someplace else. And so I decided the problem maybe it was in my legs. I needed to get my legs stronger. And so I said, okay, I just need to practice climbing up the mountain more. And then I said, no, there's something else going on. And then when I started conditioning for the splits, all of a sudden I realized what it was, that I was spending too much time on one leg and I wasn't getting the second leg out there quick enough to bear my weight. And so if you put your foot down on the ground and the ground is at, say, a 60-degree slope, you are falling forward. Your weight will not stay on that foot very long just because of the gravity. You need to put that other foot out in time so it can hold your weight. And that's what I couldn't do because my hip joints were so stiff. But now I can do it. And now, you know, I just walk down the hill like I'm walking on the level.
Do you suppose, I don't know why I'm coming up with this, do you suppose all of this kind of thing would be helpful for moms before having a baby? Hips and all that?
I thought about that.
Yeah, you think that would loosen things up a little bit? I wonder, you know.
I don't think so. Because I had my babies, I was 30. So I was not able to do a split or a wheel pose. I was a little bit flexible. And I had no problem at all. Everything was super, super simple, easy.
Slid right out, huh? Just boom.
Yeah.
I wonder why some ladies have real easies and sometimes have just a hard time. I guess this is.
I think because they follow the doctor's instructions to not eat or drink when labor starts.
Oh, good.
So then they're dehydrated and there's a lot of friction and the baby can't slide out.
Oh.
I totally ignored my doctor's instructions. I said, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm thirsty.
Well, of course you would.
I am not going to starve myself just because I'm in labor.
Why do they tell you and that? What, the water and the food? What is
they're
it?
Preparing you for a C-section.
Oh,
so
okay.
So when you stop eating and drinking, you create fetal distress, and then you need a C-section.
Hmm.
And then your stomach is empty, so, hey, easy anesthesia, you know.
Right. Yeah. Does contemporary medicine still grab the kids by the head and all that stuff? I mean, is it still pretty rough? Unless,
you know, it's still pretty rough. They don't use forceps as much.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's people that I know that have had their little chiropractic adjustments on a little baby and get their upper cervical right, and it's really helped them, you know. It's pretty interesting.
Right, because the doctor did so much manipulation and stuff that just messed the kid up.
Yeah, messed him up.
Yeah, more women should just stay at home and have their kids. This, you know, submitting your child to what amounts to, you know, child brutality in the birth process is not a motherly responsible thing to do, I don't think.
Yeah. Do they have midwives down there in Panama?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
We have a lot of terms in the United States that don't really translate.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe what you're asking is, do women have their babies at home?
Correct, Amundo.
And what kind of assistance do they have?
Right.
Okay, that's a different question.
I see.
So some women do have their babies at home, and generally their assistance is like a relative or something.
Really?
Works out just fine.
Yeah. I've often heard that the best position is squatting. Is that true?
Yes, however... the question is, what's the starting position? So you shouldn't just sit and squat throughout labor. That's not good.
Wouldn't be good.
So what you should do is just get into any comfortable position. For most women, it's either a slightly reclined sitting position, you know, with your feet are on the ground or close to the ground, or it's laying on the kind of a little bit on the right side. If you lay on the left side, you cut off the aorta, and then you and the baby don't get any blood, so don't do that.
That's
not good. So it's kind of sort of like on sort of on the right side. And then when things get really serious, like you feel like the baby is moving and you feel an urge to push, that's when it's time to stand up with the support of two people.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you'll decide when you want to squat. And then those two people who are supporting you can support your weight while you bend your knees and squat. But it's not a solo maneuver.
I see, yeah. Well, what fun, having babies and getting comedian things up on the stage. That's fun. Okay, so now we're going to do a quick commercial, and then we're going to start with emails, okay? Ready?
Okay.
Okay, put your thinking cap on. Well, get your spinal fluid going there. We're with Daniel Vitalis and Sir Thrival. I asked you years ago if you could only have one food on an island, you picked colostrum. You still there?
It tastes so good. It's so
I mean, you're still on the island taking colostrum, or would you change your choice?
Well, I need a couple other foods to mix in with it. My favorite thing to do with colostrum is I mix it with a grass-fed butter, a little bit of maple syrup, and cacao powder. And when I mix those ingredients together, I get this thick, rich chocolate mousse, which is one of the main ways that I eat the colostrum in my own house. And it's interesting because the people around me, my fiance included, usually are interested in it, not because they're after the colostrum. They just really love the food that I make. So it's a way to get... The chocolate's a way to get colostrum into people without them even really thinking about, oh, I need colostrum for my immunity. It's a way that I can help work on people's immune systems, and they just enjoy eating chocolate.
Well, that sounds great. I want some. That's great. Yeah, I'm all in on that mousse thing. I have not tried that. I'm going to. There are many ways you can use colostrum. Very, very tasty. Any Sir Thrival link, colostrum. On oneradionetwork.com. Our sale continues for, what, 5 or 6 more days. The biggest sale of the year on colostrum, 1 kilo, 2 kilo. Just look at the price reduction. You don't need a promo code. Just click on that pretty little ad there. Huge savings on the top right, and order what you want. And when you get on there, look at their other products, too. They're just really nice. Had my shot of pine pollen and elk velvet antler this morning. Also, Daniel has a new vitamin D product that I think you'd really like. I think it's called Daylight, something like that, Sunlight. You'll see it there. And it's a vitamin D from organic lanolin. And also, I can't find it right now, but it's got the K2 thing from another really good source. So it's the K2 vitamin D thing, and the K2 helps put your little calcium in your bones and not in your arteries. That's what the K2 people say anyway. So that's pretty big stuff. So it's vitamin D, K2. And you can see it right on the front page. The Thrival link and the colostrum is on sale.
Listeners to the variety of programs on the One Radio Network have in many cases picked up on Wednesday's Real World of Money featuring Andy Goss. SDL Incorporated, Andy Goss's company, specializes in the purchasing and sale of American gold and silver coins. Many of the listeners have become familiar with Andy Goss as he has spoken about the central banks and their ability to create unlimited amounts of fiat or unbacked currency. The expansion of the money supply by these central banks around the world has actually created a very bullish market for gold and silver coins. Those who have listened to the shows have picked up on many of the points of accumulating gold and silver coins. Those who may be new, please feel free to call us for additional information anytime at 1-800-468-2646. That is SDL Incorporated, American Gold and Silver Coins, 1-800-468-2646.
All right, let's see what's going on here. The market's been, boy, bouncing around like crazy. Donald Trump gives a tweet and it goes down. He gives another tweet, goes back up, and it's just hilarious what's going on in planet Earth and United States politics and the markets. We'll talk about it tomorrow with Andrew. Dollar's down just a little bit, so gold and silver up just a little bit. That's how it works. Gold is at $1,330 an ounce and $1,677 for silver. Andy will be here tomorrow. We'll have lots to talk about on the Real World of Money. Oh, I did find the K2. It's called D3 K2 Daylight Concentrate. Really tastes yum. From lanolin and natto, suspended in olive oil, infused with a little proprietary blend of aloe vera leaf, goji fruit, and shilajit, and pleasantly flavored with natural peppermint. Boy, it's a nice little thing, and the vitamin D deficiency has been shown to play a role in all kinds of things, almost every major disease. So if you don't get a lot of sunlight, you might want to try this. As Dr. Daniels, if you get out in the sun, if you need K2, I bought some. I just bought some. I want to try it, but we'll see what she says about being in the sun and taking vitamin D. And we'll do that, and we're going to do this here. Well, yeah.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Start spreading the news.
Yeah, baby.
I'm leaving today.
That's Frank Sinatra now playing at the Copacabana. The lounge show out in the lobby is Dr. Jennifer Daniels and her comedy routine. I didn't know you were performing for Frank out in the lobby. Good for you, Doc. That's very good. Well, Dr. Daniels, what about that? People that get out in the sun like a guy like me every day, get it on my skin. Do I need to supplement with vitamin D in your opinion?
Very good question.
Very good. Thank you. So, I knew that. Yeah.
A thing that's been happening is people have been getting out in the sun and their vitamin D levels have not been rising.
Why is that?
I am so glad you asked.
Why is that?
In order to create vitamin D, the sunlight has to hit something in your body called cholecalciferol.
No. You can't say that on the radio.
I know. Well, you can bleep it out.
Okay.
But the point is, this is a derivative of cholesterol.
Yeah.
So if you are on a low cholesterol diet,
yeah,
or watching your cholesterol, then you can lay in the sun all day long. Your vitamin D level will not increase because you don't have enough circulating cholesterol, a.k.a. cholecalciferol, to create vitamin D.
Isn't that curious?
Yeah,
another down.
If you're vegetarian or vegan, guess what? You're wasting your time.
You're just wasting your time. So another downside, and then the statins that lower the cholesterol levels, huh, for the guys.
Yes, it lowers your cholesterol levels, which lowers your testosterone, which means you can't make vitamin D, can't maintain your cell membranes, can't maintain your brain. You get like stupid, impotent, a few other things. Basically ruins your life.
Oh, it ruins your life. But they have a pill for that, you see. They have the Viagra thing.
To help you ruin your life.
That's right. Well, I don't even want to ask about that. I can't imagine people taking that. What does that do anyway? I mean, it's a huge...
In the cholesterol pills?
No, the Viagra pills that they give the guys because they lower their cholesterol.
Well, now they're giving them testosterone injections.
Oh, I know.
They're diagnosed with a low T situation.
Oh, I know. It's
huge. The guys are getting low T because they're adhering to the low cholesterol diet.
Same thing, right? Yeah. But I'm wondering, how dangerous is the Viagra thing? You hear it advertised all the time on the radio.
Well, I mean, people die of heart attacks, and it's like, oh, well, shrug, shrug. It's worth it. The guys say, hey, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What does it do?
I'd rather die that way. I'd rather die in the saddle.
What's it do? Does it increase circulation down south, or how does that work?
It increases circulation down south and decreases circulation up north.
Of course, because guys are mostly thinking down south anyway. So what do they care? Right?
No, I'm saying that's what the drug does.
Oh, that's what the drug does, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the drug does.
Yeah.
But why not increase the circulation everywhere?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so you can have a good heart and a good down south.
That's right. Have it all, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I say.
That's what I like that. Okay, so now we have 90 minutes and we have 148 emails. So you ready to go? Oh, what are you going to do? Okay.
Well, we can't get to them all, so they're going to have to go to my website and get a discovery session.
That's right.
Not cheap, but it's worth it.
They're not cheap, but, you know, I mean, but why would you go to a cheap discovery session anyway? Who wants one of those? I mean, what are you going to get for that?
Right? I don't know. Maybe they do. Maybe there's someone on the internet that's cheaper, and that's fine.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
That's okay.
Okay. Let's see. Our son is turning one, and he's been happily enjoying solids for about 5 months now. And what are some do's and don'ts for solids, like a yes and no's list for solids at this point?
I don't even understand the question.
So she's giving solids.
Let's
she wants
make
to
this,
know
let's
good
make
solids.
It super simple.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. There is no do's and don'ts except don't give the kid processed food. Skip the mayo on the salad. Use homemade salad dressing if you're going to do that. And for a one-year-old, you got the choke hazard. You know, he could choke on a leaf of leaf of lettuce if he doesn't chew it properly. So I might, with a one-year-old, I would lean towards a blended salad. Just take the salad and put it in a blender for him. You don't have to puree it super fine, but puree it so he can easily swallow it.
Mm-hmm. But just so it's organic food.
That's what I would do.
You're good. Organic food. You're good.
Yeah, organic. But the biggest problem in organic is not enough, because what a lot of women who ask a question like this, which there's a lot of things wrong with the question, but a lot of women who ask a question like this, they're putting their kids on a lot of organic processed foods. So you got the freeze-dried organic corn, it's non-GMO. Well, it's still a very bad choice for the kid, because it's seriously dehydrating, and it's going to give your kid abdominal pain, stomach pain, and you're going to be in the emergency room with a crisis, not understanding where it came from. So the whole question kind of is a little bit troubling. So to give a one-year-old salad, you have to scratch your head, okay? Because a one-year-old, is not able to handle chunks of stuff that big that's hard to chew. He may be enjoying them, but you turn your back and he's going to, he's likely to choke on something there. So I could see a four-year-old enjoying his salads, but a one-year-old, I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. So, the thing with the one-year-old is you'd want to puree. I would definitely lean towards pureeing that.
Yeah. Then you could do gluten-free, sugar-free Pop-Tarts, right? Those are good. Just kidding.
Exactly.
Have you seen some of the stuff they have in the store? I mean, all this supposedly healthy.
Tell someone to feed the kid organic.
Yeah, it's not a good deal.
Then now they're into all this organic processed food.
Right.
Which is even more damaging than the non-organic unprocessed food. So back in the old days, that would be 1989, you could tell someone to eat organic because there just weren't that many processed organic foods on the market.
No, not at all. It was just food.
You just couldn't get into trouble.
Yeah.
You could barely get tofu.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, Andy has antiphospholipid syndrome, also known as sticky blood.
Oh.
If you hypothetically had it, How would you treat yourself? I was guessing maybe some Vitality capsules. How about large doses of vitamin C? Any particular foods? From Andy.
Is that in the question?
Those are all in the question.
All right, so.
Auntie.
Scooty asked the question because he does need some direction here, I can see.
Well, okay, I paraphrased so sticky, the whole thing because it was kind of long. So
if you have sticky food,
sticky
it's the same
blood.
Thing as having, sticky blood.
Okay.
It's the same thing as having some syrup on the floor. The first thing you would do to get rid of that sticky syrup on the floor is you would add water to loosen it up. So this person with sticky blood needs to drink a lot more water. That's the first thing to unstick their blood.
All right. That's easy.
So drink a lot more water. Then you could add some Vitality capsules and maybe some vitamin C and definitely some turpentine. But the person has their primary problem, one is dehydration and two is constipation. And that's what this person needs to work on.
So are you saying he could go to the medical industrial complex and they could give him this big thing and this big long name and he could maybe really turn it around or get close to turn around just by drinking more water?
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Dr. Jenner, I've heard you talking about the small flowered willow that you've talked about and Patrick has taken. That's right. I'm on month two. And I found some. I'm wondering if you know the Latin name for it. Oh. I don't know the Latin name for it. Do you know?
I
just Google it now. Maybe we could find it.
Dr. Google.
What is the name for that? Oh, E-P-I-L-O-B-I-U.
Epilobium.
Parafilmium.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. And once again, as I mentioned this last week, I mean, every time you Google this thing, Doc, it's really all about the prostate, but we're kind of playing around with it for gray hairs, right?
Correct. Yeah. And so what they do is, again, cell marketing. If you had Googled this in 2000, it would have been all about the hair. And if you Googled it another year, it'll be all about the kidneys. And so the truth of the matter is, from the tip of the penis all the way through the bladder, all the way up to the kidneys, is actually one organ. But for marketing purposes and profit, the medical industrial complex divides it into three or four organs. And so the small flowered willow herb works on that whole system. And when it works in that system, superfine particles are removed from the blood more efficiently. They don't get stuck in your hair follicles, and your hair doesn't fall out and get gray.
I see. But also, you know, when you Google it, you can go to a lot of, you're looking at real scientific things on small flowered willow and stuff, and also some all these natural things. This is not military industrial complex websites. This is all herbal natural kind of things. And they're all talking prostate as well.
All right.
So
there's
so
a good
how
assumption.
Could they, yeah, how could they all just kind of say, let's all get together and make this for prostate so we could sell more? I don't think that's true, is it?
Okay, so reasonable minds may differ, and mine differs from yours.
Okay.
And so, yes. That is the case.
Really?
So what happens is the medical industrial complex creates what's called an economic market or gold mine, and many natural sources just piggyback on top of that.
Right. No, I understand.
And so that makes a lot of natural sites not any better than the medical industrial complex site. Because as you can see, all this scientific stuff is simply gobbledygook. It doesn't tell you the truth, the simplicity of the truth, which is the kidneys, the tubes that go from the bladder to the kidneys, the bladder, the prostate, the testicles, and the penis is all one organ.
Right. And what does that mean? I mean, how does that connect with the gray
hair? That
means
they'll tell you it's for prostate, and you'll say it's not for gray hair because you don't understand that this whole system is an elaborate filtration system that filters out the junk that causes your gray hair.
No,
and your
I get
hair
that. Oh, I see what you're saying. Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you don't. No one's giving you a holistic view of the thing. Everyone's
gotcha.
Got this fragment, and so you're all confused. It's a big mystery. And well, I gotta buy your herb. Oh, there's no other way out.
Yeah.
So
I gotcha. So it's
you understand the whole system here, you say, okay, fine. If I don't want to use small willow flower, let's just say you don't, then you can just find other ways to cleanse your blood so that those little particles are filtered by the kidneys.
So that's what it's really a blood cleanser.
Indirectly, because it helps with the kidney, helps the kidneys do their job of cleaning the blood.
So I suspect it would be good for the prostate as well.
There you go. It's all one organ.
It's all one organ, yeah. It's that old reductionist thinking kind of thing, right? You know, reductionist.
Yeah, so if you have kidney problems, for example, small willow flower is your herb.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
If you have a kidney problem, if you have a bladder problem, if you have a prostate problem.
Yeah, I know that Chinese medicine people, prostate is right to the kidneys. That's their first organ.
No, it's the same organ.
No, I understand, but that's the one they talk about. Kidney chi, right? Increase your kidney chi.
Yeah.
Yeah. Increase your kidney chi. Okay. Let's see here. What are we going to do? Please ask Dr. Daniels next time she's on. Does she have any thoughts about hearing loss? I'm a male in my late 50s, finding that I keep asking people to repeat themselves, or I find myself leaning forward to hear what they are saying. And David is in the UK. Well, David, if you live closer, you could hear us. I'm just kidding. Okay. Move over here, David.
Well, Dave's in the UK, and he's 50-something.
That's right.
So let's just, for the sake of discussion, say he's a pretty young guy and he has hearing loss.
Yeah.
Most likely his hearing loss is from his earbuds or earphones, most likely.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Earbuds. A lot of people wear the buds.
Yeah, so he needs to switch to speakerphone.
Yeah, that's better. That's safer, isn't it, too, for the if you're going to have a cell phone? Do you have a cell phone?
Yeah. I need a cell phone because there's no landline here.
Oh, they don't have landlines in?
No, I'm in the jungle.
That's true. They don't have landlines?
I know you forget sometimes.
No, I know. But is it difficult to get landlines in general in Panama?
Well, if you're in the city, you can get landlines.
I see.
But, I mean, I'm on the side of a cliff.
Yeah.
A hill. And just how do you lay the cables?
Yeah.
And it's not very efficient because you're going to lay a lot of cable before you get to one house.
That's
and
right.
a lot yeah. more cable. Yeah. So it's all wireless.
As you know, I don't know if you do know, but in this country, even if you're around cities and stuff, boy, they do everything they can to say, oh, no, we can't do a landline. You got to, you know, they're, whew, man, it's tough. It's hard to even get them. Yeah. They're just trying to phase them out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to go to the phone. And first caller, good morning. Who's this? Hello? On the phone? You there? That's pretty exciting. Dr. Daniels from Eric. What is Vicks Vapor Rub protocol for removing a diagnosed cataract used at bedtime is clear, but for how long period of time?
As long as you have to till that eye gets clear. Most people notice an improvement in their vision after day, as soon as day two or day three.
Really? Mm-hmm. What about the they're doing the laser thing on for cataracts? Is that safe?
I don't even see why a laser would work for cataracts.
Maybe I misspoke. I don't know if it's a laser, but they
have the laser is usually for the back of the eye for the macular degeneration.
They have these surgeries or outpatient, and folks have seemed to have good results with them for cataracts. I think they just
they remove the cataract. They just
pop
it out of the capsule and pop a lens in, and it helps correct their vision. And the cataract itself is cloudy, so they pop it out, throw it away.
Yeah.
And since it's cataract, the contents of the lens capsule, the lens is where the cloudiness is, then when they put in a new plastic clear lens, then the person, does pretty well.
That's pretty
the
well.
The complications from the vision for that is that the capsule itself can become cloudy, and then the person, the vision is not so good. Yeah. Another problem is the lens could not get in the right place. Another problem is that the vitreous could be disturbed.
See, I don't know what you're doing there. And I think they even have choices if you want to see far or near.
right. They put in a lens that literally mimics your eyeglasses.
Yeah. John is in Maryland. He said, what's your opinion on Himalayan salt lamps to ion cleansing?
So I had a friend who had Himalayan salt lamp. He had a 4-foot-high, beautiful Himalayan salt lamp.
Yeah?
Yes. Wow. In fact, he had a few of them. But he drank heavily and died of alcoholic hepatitis at the age of 62.
Yeah, you're not supposed to drink with them.
Well, I
don't, don't drink with
I
your salt
lamp. I don't think the Himalayan lamp helped hurt him. It did not hurt him.
Right.
What I'm trying to say is the salt lamps are not a cure-all. Mm-hmm. It's a nice little added extra, but if you've got a diet that's hazardous, the salt lamps are not going to combat that effectively. I'll put it to you that way. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to save you from your dietary indiscretions.
Oh.
But do I have one? Yes. I have some beautiful salt lamps.
They're kind of fun, huh?
Is it kind of a tetrahedron one? One is in the shape of a lotus, carved lotus out of the salt. Oh. The other one is just a big chunk of salt.
They're nice to have around, aren't they, for some reason?
Yeah, they are nice. I don't recommend them for the bedroom because they throw off so much light that it disturbs your sleep. So I have mine in my office. I did try them out in the bedroom. I thought it improved the air quality, but the light was just too bright.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here we are. This is Sylvie for Dr. Jennifer Daniels on Tuesday morning. Can turpentine help with Lyme disease and co-infections? And how important is meat in a growing one-year-old child's diet? The meat we offer our son is all grass-fed, no corn, no soy, no grain. Oh, he does not seem inclined to eat it. He does love his eggs, and we also he is free of corn and any soy. Any food suggestions? Welcome. Okay. We got co-infections, Lyme, and a baby.
The first answer is easy. Yes. So, yes. Put that aside. Now, this one-year-old. Most one-year-olds have difficulty with meat, especially grass-fed, especially beef, whether it's grass-fed or not. So I would just really feed him at the level he's able to eat. So if he's eating eggs, great, give him eggs.
Chicken, yard bird, it's pretty.
No, he might not like that.
Might be too much.
Because the digestion is still maturing. And so if you give a kid a lot of meat at that age, a lot of times they don't handle it well, so they don't want it.
Yeah. Do they have stomach acid to digest meat at that age?
Well, there's a lot that goes into digesting meat. There's not only there's stomach acid, but you need the intestinal length. You need the absorption ability in the small intestine. You need the activity of the liver and the bile to secrete the bile to digest it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of coordination needed.
Mm-hmm. It's a team effort.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, Sherilyn's in her 40s. Really bad asthma. What can I do to heal myself? And does coconut oil really help Alzheimer's patients get their memory back? If not, is there a natural cure? All right.
So asthma in your 40s. The first thing about asthma, if you have asthma, is you've got to just calm yourself down, take a deep breath if you can, and realize that you gave yourself this asthma. And once you decide that you gave yourself this asthma, you can realize that you can take this asthma and put it back on the shelf and say, I'm done, no thank you. So the important thing attitude to have with asthma is to ask yourself, what are you doing every single day to nurture and cultivate this asthma? Whatever that thing is, you need to stop doing it. And so that is a challenge. That's number one. Number two. If you're taking medicines, you need to understand that your medicines are also making your asthma worse every single day. And then turpentine definitely does help. So you can go to vitalitycapsules.com, download the Candida Cleaner document, and get started with that. But the basic understanding as an asthmatic, what you need to understand is that you are the answer. And it's a matter of you changing your behavior. It may be your personal care products. It may be that you think you're using essential oils, but you're not. Maybe you're using just scented oils that's different, and that's filled with chemicals, and that will make your asthma worse. And so I give people help sorting all this stuff out. And so people can check out Discovery Session at the website. Also, I have a 16-week program where I walk people through this and help them with that. But the first attitude is the attitude shift, where you have to decide, okay, I'm doing this to myself. Let me see how I can change what I'm doing. And if you can put that responsibility squarely on your shoulders or in your lap, then that's your road to successful healing and getting rid of this asthma.
So oftentimes are we doing something every day that we don't realize is triggering these kind of things?
Yes, mm-hmm. Every single day.
Every day.
You can't have bad asthma by accident. You are doing something every single day.
Could be a food or a chemical.
Possibly all day long.
Yeah. Or do you think we're generally attracted to foods that we are have a hard time with?
No.
No?
I think what people are conditioned, like, for example, when I was a kid, our parents were told, your kid needs 4 cups of milk every single day.
Sure, yeah.
Well, 4 cups of milk every day is correlated with juvenile delinquency and behavior problems, just by the way.
Oh, that was my problem.
And, and it's correlated with asthma.
Uh-huh.
And so parents, well-meaning, are literally giving their kids asthma and behavior problems. People are conditioned. Women are, to be beautiful, you need to have this perfume or that lotion or this kind of skin or whatever. And all these products, when you put them on your body, they go into your body and they can cause asthma and worsen it. And it's just an endless list of things that we are conditioned to accept into our bodies and into our lives that make us sick. I would say if you're still watching TV or exposed to commercials, keep track of everything these commercials advertise and make up your mind you're not going to use any of it. That's the quickest way to get healthy.
Note to self, don't buy this.
Yes.
Note to self, don't buy this.
Like, people ask me, Dr. Daniels, what brand of tomato do you recommend? What brand of apple do you recommend? I'm like, dude, if it's branded, don't eat it.
George's apples out of Kentucky.
Like, what brand of dandelions? Dude, go in the backyard and pull some. If it's got a brand on it, don't eat it.
You're so silly. Okay, now we're going to try this phone again, see if we get an exciting call like we did the last time. Good morning. Who's this?
Hey, this is Dave from Minnesota. Sorry about that. I fat-fingered the phone.
Oh, you fat-fingered the phone. That was you, Dave.
In a bad way, too.
Well, Dr. Daniel's fingers are very flexible this morning, so you can ask her a question. That's right.
Good.
That's right.
Hey, Dr. Daniels, I called in last month. I had a rosacea issue, and I cut out cheese, and voila, it's healed.
Really?
Yep. Yay!
Thank you so much for that.
Let's hear from Dave.
I'm still working the bags under the eyes. I know I have to increase my water intake. That's an issue for me, but I'm working on it. So.
Good. Thank you so much for calling.
Thanks for Dave. Wow, great. All right, Dave. Thank you, Dave. Good job. Oh, my God.
Wait, Dave, you got to tell us. Yeah. How much money have you spent trying to cure your rosacea?
Nada.
Oh, you didn't have health insurance and no deductibles, no copays?
No, I didn't go that road. I stay away from doctors. So.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, so you just sat at home and just waited for something to turn up.
Waited to ask you. That's right.
Phone call from you, yes. See, question for you. I'm trying your facial protocol with, you know, the vitamin C cleanse and the scrub and the old brand. And my face, and it's not caused necessarily by the vitamin C.
Wait, it's not Oprah. Really... Oprah will make your face ugly. It's Rice Bran.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
Rice Bran,
I'm sorry.
okay.
I apologize.
Oprah is pretty ugly. It's bad. Don't do it.
Anyway, my face, after the vitamin C scrub, gets really raw and red. What would cause that?
A couple of things. One, too much vitamin C, and two, you're just sensitive to it. So when that happens to people, I tell them to leave the vitamin C out and continue with the rest. So every face is different. So what it means, though, basically, is you have a very thin layer between your skin. So you have skin, and then you have some fat. And the fat makes you look, like, really attractive and fills your face out so you don't look, like, old. But that layer that's over the fat is very thin. And that's what your problem is. So just for now, leave the vitamin C out. Also, you might want to do the facial once a week instead of every day.
Okay. Yeah, I tried that jojoba oil, and that is awesome. That's terrific. So,
that's great. All right, Dave.
You've got a fan here, so I appreciate it. Thanks for all your help.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
How do you fatten up the face there so you don't crinkle up? What's some ideas for that?
Yeah, I didn't know how much time we had. Well, there's where your pig ears and pig's feet come in.
Ah, back to the pigs.
Yep, takes a strong stomach to get a good face.
Mm-hmm. What if you're Jewish? What do you do with that?
If you're Jewish?
Yeah.
I mean, Jews don't eat pork? Is that what you're trying to tell
me? That's true. Most do. Some people. You know, the real...
All right, I'm just trying to understand the question.
Yeah, I would just
so
be kind of silly.
So then you eat cow's legs.
Cow's legs? Like a whole leg?
Well, you can take a piece of a leg. So usually cow's legs are sold in slices, and they make cross sections through the leg, and they're little round. They're round discs. Mm. They're like an inch thick, and they're extremely, extremely high in collagen. And so you just make a stew out of those, and they're actually pretty tasty. Not bad.
There's a farmer's market lady that has piggies, no corn, no soy, all organic. But and she does some kind of lard where she. Is that safe to eat that from the piggy lard?
Again, so what you're doing is you're eating a processed product.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, they cook it. I guess.
So you take the piggy, you render it, you back it up.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Forget that.
Don't do that.
Get the pig ear. If you really want pig fat, get the pig belly. And they even sell pig skin. It has an inch of fat attached to it. So that's what I'd recommend to eat. Mm-hmm. And then you can eat as much as you want of that in terms of solving your problem. You know you've eaten too much. When your complexion gets a little greasy, in which case cut back, and your face won't be greasy anymore.
You know, I just got this hit. I think you'll find this. You might find this interesting. My hair, since doing the small flowered willow, and I do it every day, right, is more oily. The natural oils are coming back. Where I have to.
Yes, what's happening is the hair follicles are clearing and they're doing their job.
Yeah, very interesting. I've noticed, I said, man, you know, I just washed my, you know what I'm saying? I feel like I have to wash my hair, but those are just natural oils, I guess, that I haven't had for a long time. So the natural oils there, are they an indication the hair is getting healthier?
The hair follicle is getting healthier.
The follicle, that's the part that's in your head, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. Really? That's pretty cool. I like it. Okay. Nothing like oily head. Good morning on the phone. Who's this?
Good morning. This is Sharon from the sunny skies of Seattle today.
You have sunny skies in Seattle. Well, good for you. Why? I bet you're all excited.
It's a rarity, so we celebrate it when we get it.
That's right. Just go out.
Nice.
Go out to McDonald's and have an Egg McMuffin. I understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last time I ever ate one of those, probably 15 years ago.
What's up with you, Sharon, in Seattle?
Well, let's see. I have a question for Dr. Daniels. I so enjoy listening to you, and keep saying one of these days I'll find you in your jungle so I can just sit and enjoy the beauty where you get to look out every day.
Okay, you guys, hold it down here. Sharon wants to talk.
So my question for you is, can you explain a little bit about what's going on in the body with external and internal hemorrhoids? I personally have had multiple children, and so that's something that I've experienced at different seasons in my life. I'm very health conscious, juice a lot. I think I'm probably the 90-10 rule where 90% of the time I'm eating 100% organic health nutrition, and then there's the beer and pizza, you know, maybe 10%. So I can't really look at anything in my diet that's creating that, but,
okay.
You know, I...
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I think we got it. Yeah. Okay. Doc, hemorrhoids. Internal
yeah, so
external.
What's happening in the body when you have hemorrhoids? Basically, it's a product of severe chronic constipation. And so the significance of having babies is the baby is potentially a huge piece of constipation for several months, just sitting there on the intestines and blocking them so they don't move frequently. So, you know, if you're pregnant, the thing to do is make sure that you do not get constipated. And definitely do not take your doctor's advice to stop drinking water just because you went into labor. And so the hemorrhoids are caused by constipation. There's two causes of constipation as far as the body's concerned. One is the intestines are blocked, and that pressure is released by the hemorrhoids popping out. The next point of constipation or location is the liver. So when the liver is blocked or clogged by impurities like the beer, like the pizza, then that backs up and you get the hemorrhoids. And so the solution, of course, is to not be constipated, to clean out the liver and to clean out the intestines and keep them open and stay well hydrated.
What are your favorite things to clean out the liver?
My favorite thing is Vitality Capsules. Mm-hmm. That's very helpful because it increases your bile flow. Mm-hmm. The next thing is milk thistle is very good.
Yeah.
Cayenne pepper, that's in the Vitality Capsules. That's very good. And liver flushes. And I've developed a new liver flush with turpentine and olive oil.
Oh, really? Where can we find that? Yeah, I want to try that.
So the olive oil goes into the liver and helps flush the bile ducts. But if you mix it with turpentine, it takes the turpentine right in there with it. And the turpentine melts the stones, so they get just a little bit smaller, and then they're easily dislodged the next day with Epsom salts. So actually, I don't have the flush posted on my site anywhere.
You don't?
No. There are various versions posted around the internet, though. Just Google olive oil and turpentine.
Oh, I see. So this, so it's kind of a similar to the olive oil and lemon juice thing.
Correct. So you do use the lemon juice, but instead of plain olive oil, you mix some turpentine in there.
Oh, put it on. Yeah. Yeah.
So can I elaborate a little bit on my question here? Thank you for the answers.
Sure.
So for a male that obviously has never had children, for internal polyps or for the external polyps, you know, sometimes they're hard or sometimes they're soft. And, you know, I guess I'm just curious what exactly is going on physiologically with the body. I don't experience it that often. It's been quite a while since I've had one, you know, and I'm normally having really healthy bowel movements. So I guess I'm just curious what else could be, you know, I think I hiked about 45 miles last week. And, you know, I'm just wondering that kind of stuff acerbated a little bit. I guess that's my other question.
So the problem with hiking a long period of time is the dehydration piece. And that would be the aggravation part. And as for the guy, you have to ask him what his alcohol intake is. I mean, explore whatever. But you've exhausted my knowledge base. In other words, it's the liver and it's the colon. Those are your two places to work and fix.
Okay.
Boys and girls. Yeah. Boys and girls.
They both have a colon. They both have a liver.
I noticed that. Yeah, I noticed that. That's great.
Yeah.
So I've looked into, you know, what surgeries would be, you know, seems like they want an awful lot of money for a little bit of activity there. Do you recommend those surgeries that they have?
For the hemorrhoids?
Yeah. No, I don't recommend surgery for anything.
No, they'll go away.
Not that. Yeah. The surgeries fail. You get the surgery, hemorrhoids are gone, and they come back because you didn't fix the problem. And then you have more surgery, and then, you know, and so you're just part of someone else's profit program, but you're not getting lasting relief. So if getting hemorrhoid surgery every 3 to 5 years fits into your lifestyle, then that's a reasonable thing to do.
No, thank you.
All right, Sharon in Seattle. Don't get sleepless there.
No. Thank you so much.
Thanks a
lot.
Have
a blessing.
You're welcome.
Yeah, wow. You mean, so surgery, they actually go in and cut them off or something?
Oh, it's gruesome. I've seen hemorrhoid surgery. Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness.
In fact, you can probably go on YouTube and video hemorrhoid surgery.
No, thank you.
You take a look at it, you're like, my God, what, this should be on the porn channel.
Yeah.
That's how bad it is. Like, oh my God.
That doesn't seem, I mean, you talk about symptomatic, you know, that doesn't seem right, does it? Why? Because it's got to return. I mean, you've worked with people over the years. They'll go back to normal, right? Once you get things happy.
Again, like I said, it's the liver and the colon.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think the answer lies someplace else, then you have to talk to someone else. That's pretty much the size of it. There might be an answer that lies outside the liver and the colon, but that's an answer someone else would possess.
That's your story and you're sticking to it. No,
that's all right.
I understand. For this person, okay, we're going to take a quick little break here with Dr. Jennifer Daniels, Patrick Timpone, OneRadioNetwork.com. We used to have a milk thistle to Sharon in our store, but then Amazon fell out of love with us and doesn't like us anymore, so we don't do that. But I can vouch for a really nice product on Amazon. We don't have a financial stake in this, but it's a $9.99 deal, and it's organic, and it has the milk thistle as well as the silymarin, S-I-L-Y-M-A-R-I-N. So you have the milk thistle and also the silymarin. It's organic, very inexpensive, and I'm doing a liver thing right now, and I've been doing about 12 a day for 3 weeks, and there's some really things, fun things going on with my liver. So, you know, you could try that if you want to try the milk thistle, and that's on Amazon. It's Eclectic Institute, Eclectic. They have a 240 count for like $18, you know. You can do that. Previously, we talked with Brandon Amalani about his Blue Shield product to protect against EMFs in your home.
The more connected we are, the more electromagnetic radiation we're going to have. So years ago, I'd play with Q-Links and just anything I can get my hands on that, whether I felt it working or not, I just wanted some kind of leverage against electromagnetic radiation and those frequencies and how they affect the cellular biology. But then when I met Mark and started really getting deep to his technology and really looking at the microprocessing technology, I've never found any EMF company that would not only to test on not only human blood and urine analysis, but also on animals, which totally weeds out the idea of placebo effect. I mean, the fact that you can plug these devices into a chicken farm, a factory farm, for about 15,000 laying hens, and all of a sudden the mortality rate, which is averages from 60 to 150 deaths per month, goes down to zero. I mean, it's pretty profound that a little device, a little energy device, could actually like create such a harmony and balance within the environment to where claustrophobic chickens that are crammed in together actually get along better and actually feel better. The biological markers are improved over that 1 year study.
There's quite a bit of science with this Blue Shield product. You can see the ad on the front page. Promo code One Radio will get you a 10% discount. This works on the cells in the body. Very cool technology. Front page, Blue Shield, OneRadioNetwork.com. I get questions on this guy, and I'm really not the person to answer it because it's a very interesting technology. I like the idea that it goes through different cycles every 30 seconds or so, so your body is getting a different kind. It's all been jazzed up with it's all math at some level. EMF protection device, but you can email Brandon through his website, through our website. And I think you could even talk to him. He's very generous with his time. He's the same man that does the Shan Blossom, and it's the Blue Shield. I think you'll enjoy it. If you'd like to try our sauna, all you do is email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We promote the Relax Far Infrared Sauna. I've had mine for about 10 years. And it's just a beautiful little thing. You sit in there virtually every day of my life before bed. I like to do it before bed, or even sometimes you wake up in the middle of the night. Sometimes my body's just kind of feisty and wants to get more parasympathetic, and I'll jump in there for 20 minutes, and oh boy, 90 blinkers after that, really nice. It's a very low EMFs. Just click an order on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. We'll give you $9.95 delivered in contiguous United States, but you have to email me because $11.95 is the price on the website. There's lots of material out there that even the cancer cure latest webinar thing, they were recommending people take extra sulfur to detoxify the body, which somebody sent me a link, and that was pretty cool. So sulfur is getting out there. There's a lot of them out there. You can go on Amazon and get some really a whole lot less expensive than we have. But as Dr. Daniels is saying, you get a discovery session and maybe get some valid information or whatever. You know, you get what you pay for with everything. And ours is pure. There's no silicone dioxide in there. And the more you read about that, the more you don't want that stuff. Virtually every sulfur in the world out there has silicone dioxide. I don't know why they put it in there. But anyway, sulfur is also known to be a terrific aluminum antagonist. Aluminum antagonist, which helps with Alzheimer's, also helps folks with foggy mind, concentration problems, which I suspect is why people feel better and more clarity. It's one of the words that keeps popping up over 4 years. Well, I take this, I get a little more clear. Maybe it's just clearing out the cobwebs or so. Now, you might be able to get enough sulfur just eating enough cabbage and broccoli and leafy greens and veggies and kale and collards and arugula and stuff like that. You probably could. I don't know if you can or not. Frankly, I don't eat all that much stuff, so I take some sulfur. But, you know, sulfur-bearing amino foods, I mean, to be clear, probably be even better if you can get enough there. Some people say you can. Some people say you can't. Who do you believe? I don't know. Anyway, sulfur is available on OneRadioNetwork.com. Three prices. Click and order if you like more than 4 pounds. Email me, Patrick, at OneRadioNetwork.com. Got this little jungle thing theme working this morning. I don't know.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
The fourth Tuesday of the month, Dr. Jennifer Daniels, VitalityCapsules.com. So people are saying, okay, where do I find the olive oil? see what you did now? You do it every time. Where do I find the olive oil turpentine? Do you think just Google, Dr. Google's olive oil turpentine will find it?
Oh, no, you have to mix your own.
No, I know that.
Buy your own olive oil.
To find the recipe. No, to find the recipe.
You know, I should put it up on my site.
Yeah, why don't you do that? And then get people to your site and send us a link or something like that. Okay, my friend was diagnosed with gastroparesis.
Gastroparesis.
From Steve in Pittsburgh with a built steel. The docs have her on a diet avoiding fats, especially red meat. Do you have any other insights on this conditions or remedies? ? Okay. Good, Steve.
Okay, so gastroparesis. Paresis is a fancy word for paralysis or paralyzed. Ew. So this person's gut is just not moving. It needs like a kick in the patootie. So there's lots of things you can do. Eliminating the meat is nice, but it's more than that. So first of all, she has to hydrate herself. And then there's tons of foods. She can eat prunes. She can eat tamarind paste, which is yum, yum, yummy. She can eat large amounts of very watery fruits like watermelon. She can take vitamin C. And, of course, she can take Vitality Capsules. So those are all things she can do to resolve this gastroparesis. Now, the next question is, what does she do with her day? What is that? What mean? Is she sitting a lot? So if she has a sedentary job, she could kind of either quit it or retrain or fewer hours and just do a lot more walking. But the biggest thing she can do is to increase her hydration, add those things I mentioned to her diet, give Vitality Capsules a try.
Okay.
That'll take care.
Good job. I'm interested in getting stem cell therapy, writes Joyce, 69. Do you have any recommendations or advice about the various types? Thinking amniotic cells would be good since my stem cells are so old. How about PRP? PRP, since Texas passed a law last year, is that the best state to get stem cells? Oh, is PRP a certain kind of stem cell?
Yeah, PRP is a certain method of taking your own blood and
Do you know anything about that, stem cells?
Processing it. Yeah, I've actually done a fair amount of research on stem cells.
What do you think?
This is not a popular position.
That's You've never been popular. I'm just kidding. You're very popular because of your positions. You know,
even your wheel position.
You're popular when you do the wheel position.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So PRP is platelet-rich plasma,
yeah,
where they take your blood and separate out the plasma and then inject it into your body, into different spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So this person, I'm going to guess, is interested in stem cell whatever for a joint problems that is located somewhere, because this is generally injected into a space, not back into your circulation, but into a space like a joint or an eyeball or something like that.
Right.
Okay. So I think stem cells are totally a hoax. If you go to different stem cell sites and you read all this excellent blah, 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 the success rate is in the 30%-ish area, which is the same as placebo. And they say stem cells don't work alone. You've got to fix your diet. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. Whoa, 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 whoa. Why don't I just fix my diet first and skip the stem cells? And so I'm now actually having people call me who failed stem cell therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So based on the phone calls from failures who've not gotten results, and based on the information in the websites, and then based on, of course, the whole scientific, I won't say scientific, because that's just basically a bunch of fake studies, but the biological and biochemical basis of it, if you examine that, then there's absolutely no reason to expect the stem cell therapy to work.
Yes.
And then let's take another step. So this caller says, I think I'll do amniotic because mine are so old. And so what she doesn't know is that amniotic stem cells are derived from amniocentesis. And amniocentesis is a process that causes 1% abortions or loss of the fetus. So basically, the fetus and the amniotic fluid are basically one organism. And when you interrupt or invade that space or take out those stem cells, it's basically like taking the blood of a baby. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to use the blood of a baby because my blood is older. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but all I'm saying is if she's not in favor of cannibalism, then stem cell therapy would not fit into her belief system.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are, you know, cannibalism might not be good, but for me, help my joints, it's worth it. So it just depends on where your value system shakes out there.
Yeah. This is not a scientific survey, but I've known 3 or 4 people over the years that have done stem cells, and I can quite frankly say that in every case they didn't feel anything, really.
It didn't work, right?
No,
right.
I mean, you know, they didn't feel anything. They said, well, I don't know, you know, I don't know if I spent my money in the right spot, you know.